Oh, yes, indeed. The words legend and icon are sometimes used too frequently these days, but not when being used to describe Bruce Foxton as part of the Jam. Bruce's thumping bass lines exploded into London's live music scene in 76, and the following year, the anthemic In the City album and single were released and put shockwaves through the music industry. Just recently, Bruce was voted one of the most influential bass players of all time on an NME poll, showing the high regard he's still held with by fans, musicians, and the music press alike. Now, 3 years on from the acclaimed album Back in the Room, Bruce returns with a brand new studio album entitled Smash the Clock, carrying every ounce of the energy, attitude, and punch that he's associated with. The first single, Now the Time Has Come, which you just heard, does not disappoint. The fact it's released on the weekend of St. George's Day is poetry in motion. I'm delighted to welcome onto the stage. Huge fan. It is the one and only Bruce Foxton. Mr. Foxton, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Charles. How are we doing?
I haven't got words to express how happy I've been when I found out I was interviewing you. I can tell you that. Now, a new single, a new album. You've been rather busy since we last heard from you.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time. Like you said, the single's out today, actually, and it's going pretty well. The album comes out next month on the 20th, I believe, of May. So it's full on between, promoting the album and touring, because we're solid. Booked basically for the whole of this year, would be on the road and even into 2017 and 18. I believe the agents got bookings already.
Well, I thought, but just looking at your tour list, and I thought, because normally when you get these tours, you go, okay, fine, it's going to be a couple of gigs here, there, and everywhere. And I've just, it's two pages of tour notes here. It's ridiculous.
It's pretty daunting looking at it. But you know, before you can say whatever, we'll be at Christmas. But you know, that's what the band's all about, is playing live. You know, we still really enjoy it. We give it 100% energy and passion every night, and the crowds are getting bigger. You know, they want to hear those great Jam songs, and we're putting in, you know, a couple of new tracks off Smash the Clock, which are really blending in well and going down well. They're being well received.
I mean, this is the thing. I mean, you still get the buzz. I mean, people say that, you know, you often hear about people getting tired of going on the road all the time. And the Jam were a quintessentially live experience, weren't they? So, You know, do you still get that buzz and that power?
There's just nothing better than actually, you know, being able to play your music and hopefully getting a great reaction. You know, it's the From the Jam gigs are still kind of like a big social event, like it was in the Jam days, that, you know, fans, if I can call them that, they come from all corners of the planet, basically, you know, and it's a big social gathering, and they get to hear us perform those songs, so it's just a great night out, and we feed off the audience's enthusiasm and enjoyment, and it makes it, yeah, great all round.
I mean, a lot of artists who, you know, have had success, and I mean, the Jam were the biggest band in Britain easily, and pretty much Europe, if not the world, you know, at the beginning of the 80s, I mean, really, apart from, you know, you absolutely, you know, smashed the mould. A lot of people, you know, go on to do a solo career and don't want to do anything from the back catalogue. I mean, was there a period you went through saying, well, I want to be known as more as Bruce Foxton and not just Bruce Foxton of the Jam?
No, I'm very proud of, you know, what the Jam achieved in relative short space of time, about 6 years recording-wise. And why not? You know, when I hear the odd Jam song on the radio, it still sounds up-to-date, contemporary, and they're great songs. And there is, as I said, Giles, you know, there's a demand for those songs to be played live still. So I'm your man.
And I mean, pretty much, I mean, if you're going to write about how to go out at the top when the public still want you, I mean, Beat Surrender, which I think was the final one you put out, I remember watching On Top of the Pops, and it was a national occasion, wasn't it? Because it was like, this is the last time you're going to hear the Jam play anywhere.
Yeah, it was quite an emotional time, obviously. But, you know, we move on. We respected Paul's decision to leave the band at that stage, although we didn't agree with it. And you move on. You have to move on.
So I mean, what's the current form of the band now? It's yourself on bass, obviously. You've got Russell, is it Russell Hastings you've got?
Russell Hastings, yeah, lead vocal and guitar, and he co-wrote the album with me. We've got Mike Randon, who's a Sussex lad, he's on drums, and a young guy called Tom Hill on keys. And it's great fun. I mean, more than half the battle is getting on with the other players in the band, and because you spend a lot of time in the car travelling up and down motorways. It's not just the hour and a half we're on stage, and we just all click. We get on so well together. I'm just very lucky to be able to do what I do, have a laugh, play those great songs, and you get a bit of money for doing it.
Better than a real job as well, isn't it? Let's face it.
Better than a real job.
So how does the songwriting go around? Because I mean, looking at the notes here, you know, Russell has been writing a few songs as well, and stepping into Mr. Weller's shoes, as you like, as a singer.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird, really, because Russ was at our last show in 1982. We played down in Brighton, and Russ was just a member of the public. He was in the audience as a teenager, big Jam fan, and you know, you fast forward all these years, and there he is fronting the band now, singing those songs, and he's put his own stamp on it. I mean, he does sound similar vocally to Paul, but that's not a put-on voice. You know, that's just how he sings. He does a great job. You know, it was, as you said, about shoes to fill. They were big shoes, you know, and he's proved he can do it admirably, you know, and he's established himself in his own right.
I mean, also the other thing is, of course, that where you recorded this album, because you did it down at Paul Weller's Black Barn Studios.
That's right, yeah, we did Back in the Room, the previous solo album there, and now the Smash the Clock album. It's just a really relaxed vibe down there. We find it, without sounding too sort of, pretentious, it works for us. It's been very creative for us down there. And then I get to collar the man when he turns up to check his mail. I sort of drag him in the studio, and he's played on a couple of tracks. So as Wilco Johnson,
yeah,
who obviously relieved, like, all the public, you know, that he's overcome that ginormous tumour, and he seems to be in good health now. So, and the Jam were really influenced by the Feel Good,
yeah,
in the, you know, 74, 75 period. And so having play on a song or two was just phenomenal. And if I can drop another celebrity name on the old floor, Paul Jones from Manfred Mann and the Blues Band. He's played on a couple of tracks, got a bit of harmonica on a couple of tracks. So I've just very lucky, you know, things are good at the moment.
I mean, it's pretty much, if you like, a who's who of you know, I mean, I won't say modern, well, yeah, sort of modern British music, and you know, and definitely maximum rhythm and blues from a British slant. You know, you've got Wilco and Paul Jones and the Modfather himself in there.
Yeah, I can't really say much more than that. You know, it's been it was a real buzz to have them there playing on our tracks, you know.
I mean, you say that, you know, Paul was sort of dropping and checking on his man. Was it sort of like, you know, just putting his head around the door and said, right, I got you now, get in here and do something? Because it must be quite entertaining to have him back in the room, as it were.
Yeah, we're good mates again now, and every now and again we do something together. Nothing's planned, it's pretty spontaneous, and you know, Paul was up for playing on a couple of tracks, and we gave him a free hand. He put some great backwards guitar on one of the tracks, and a lovely piano on another, and it just helped take those particular tracks to another level. But it's very casual, you know, and it's just nice. You know, we had a cup of tea together, had a bit of a laugh, and then we crack on and get the recording done. And, you know, give each other a hug and off we go again for another 6 months. Probably won't see him again for a while.
What about Rick Butler? What's he up to at the moment? I mean, do you drag him along to any of the sessions, or are you trying to get him to sort of get behind the skins again and pick up the sticks?
No, that's a bit of a weird one, really, because Rick, you know, was in from the Jam, and he left around about 2009, 2010, just sent Russell and myself an email saying it is with some regret he's leaving the band, with not really much of an explanation. And, you know, I've tried getting in touch with him, but haven't had any response. And I just sort of wish him well, you know. He had a book out, you're probably aware he had a book out, I think That's Entertainment it was called, last year, which did very well for him. And I've got nothing but, you know, just wish him all the best now and in the future. But he's kind of not been in touch.
Mm. When you look at lots of the young British bands coming up at the moment, I mean, they are incredibly influenced, both in the look and the sound, by what you were doing, you know, back when you started the Jam. You must feel, you know, pretty proud of, you know, what you were doing, because it was unlike anything that had come out before. And it was basically, you know, three young guys saying, right, we can do it this ourselves, like, you know, rock and roll or you know, any music should be. You must be, you know, when you see some of the modern bands, you must think, yeah, that's got some definite Jam hints in there.
Yeah, I mean, everybody gets their influences. As I said, yeah, we were influenced by the Feel Goods, a lot of Motown, Kinks, Beatles, etc., you know, The Who. But, yeah, it's very flattering. It's a very nice compliment that they cite us as their influences, you know?
And, I mean, how is the bass playing? Have you matured over the years? Because, I mean, as soon as I hear that bass line of yours, you've got a very distinctive style of playing it. I can always tell, you know, a Jam bass line or a Bruce Foxton bass line. I think, like, I might have even bought Freak when it came out.
Right. Oh, you were the one, were you?
Yeah, that was me, yeah. Somewhere in Stoke-on-Trent. But, you know, have you mellowed your style? I mean, it's still as punchy as ever. But is there, you know, have you changed your style, or is it still going to be, you know, the maximum punchy? Because I always remember when you were on stage, you always look like you didn't want to mess with the Jam, did you? Because they always looked like they could probably do you some damage.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking of what the saying is about, you know, don't try and fix what ain't broken or whatever. You know, it's my style, and I think I'm just a continuation of that. You know, I suppose I've mastered the instrument by now. I was 4 years down the line. I think I'm doing okay with it, you know, but no, again, it's a compliment that you can tell whose style of bass plan is. I mean, you're right, I can spot McCartney or Entwistle, you know, they put their own stamp on that instrument, and yeah, it's nice that you think I've done the same.
I mean, it must be, I know we're talking, it must be a hectic sort of schedule for touring, but it must be nice to be able to, you know, because when the Jam was at its height, it must have been pretty whistle-stop and a bit of a whirlwind, but now even though you're doing lots of gigs, you've got a couple of, you're doing the Isle of Man TT week, for example. You're doing, you know, little festivals. So it must be more fun, and you can sit back and mellow into it a bit more.
It's a bit more relaxed, you know, and we do it to our schedule. I mean, you're right, Giles, you know, when in the Jam, obviously the more successful you became, the busier you got, and you did get on a treadmill, and it was kind of hard to get off it. And I think that's partly, you know, what Paul felt when he decided to call it a day with the band. You know, we said, did you want to take a break? But he was adamant that he wanted to actually leave the band. But, yeah, we do it a bit more at our own pace now, and, you know, to what suits us more as opposed to what suits the record company.
And like you said before, it must be much more mellow because you've got, you know, you're driving around. You don't do the trailer. You don't have a rider that, you know, you need white kittens and only green M&Ms and stuff like that then.
No, it's a bit Spinal Tap, that, isn't it, really?
I think it was Mariah Carey, whatever her name is, I think, wanted that, or J-Lo at one point. But, yeah, I mean, what are your requirements when you go on the road? Sort of like a nice cup of tea and a couple of warm strings or something, or what?
It's pretty basic, really, a clean, warm dressing room with a toilet. And you'll be surprised how many dressing rooms haven't got a toilet, which is not ideal. Because we do get kind of nervous before the show.
Well, that helps with the energy of the performance, I believe.
Well, so you can get back to your hotel and hit the bathroom. But, no, it's pretty, you know, a few beers, bottle of wine and some sandwiches, you know, it's not a mega rider. But again, that's down to us, and that's all we need.
What are you looking forward to then, most of the next couple of months? You're basically promoting the album and doing the gigs, and what can we expect for you? I mean, apart from the next year, presumably you'll be having a lie down, a well-deserved large cup of tea and a lie down.
Well, it's busy. It's busy until, I mean, you know, you can check out rockartistmanagement.com or brucefoxton.com. We're full on, and I mean, you know, 2017, the old diary's filling up, and even, I believe, into 2018, and it's like, well, let's just see how we're going at that stage, you know. I've had a couple of cartilage operations on one of my knees, you know, from leaping around like an idiot for 40 years. But, you know, God willing, we'll keep going as long as we can.
I mean, I do salute you because, you know, you're putting out your own brand of music and you're still doing originals. I mean, have you ever been tempted to do, because there's a lot of people doing, like, the 80s nostalgia tours. I mean, you've never been tempted to go into one of those things, have you?
No, not to do a tour. I mean, we're doing like Rewind and stuff like that, Rewind festivals, which is kind of like bands of that period, but they're kind of one-offs, and they're well-run, and, you know, they're just great fun to do. And again, you know, you're playing to people that put you there. So those kind of gigs are cool as far as I'm concerned.
So, looking forward then, new album, touring, and greeting lots of doing the full on high energy approach to bass playing and live music that you've always done, Bruce.
Yeah, as much as we can muster every night, we give it 100%. You know.
So, if people want to find out a little bit more about you, you've mentioned the social media before, but how can they get in touch, or how can they track what you're up to?
Yeah, well, the best one probably is brucefoxton.com, www.brucefoxton.com, and you'll see, you'll scroll down and you'll scroll down with all the dates and where we're at.
The single is called Now the Time Has Come. It was released today, so that's a first. I think that's probably a first in Spain we played your single. And just going back, as I said this off air before, but you know, A Bomb on Wardour Street and David Watts was a double A side, and that was the first single I ever bought, so there you go.
Excellent.
Bruce, it's been a pleasure to speak to you. If you want to find out for more information, go to brucefoxton.com. Now the Time Has Come is the single. Look forward to the new album. Bruce Foxton, thanks very much for your time today.
Thanks, Joel. It's been a pleasure.
Take care.